Dear Buddhas, today we will start Chapter 3, Courageous Endeavour of the New Human Revolution, Volume 2. We will be reading from pages 175 to 199. So let's begin. A new door had opened. Shinichi Yamamoto's journey in October 1960 for peace to North and South America filled the Japanese members' hearts with glimmering hope and passionate resolve. Most had never imagined having anything to do with Brazil or North America, which lay so far across the Pacific Ocean from Japan. Yet now they viewed these places with the greatest familiarity and affection. The first headquarters leaders' meeting after Shinichi's return from the United States was held at the Tokyo Gymnasium in Sendagaya on October 31, 1960. The air was charged with the spirit to realize global Kosenrifu. The leadership appointments for the America General Chapter, which Shinichi and the other senior Soka Gakkai leaders had discussed while in the United States, were now officially announced. Kiyoshi Jujo and Katsuki Ohara were appointed as General Chapter Chief and General Chapter Women's Division Chief, respectively, of this first overseas General Chapter. Susumu Aota and Nagayasu Masaki, both young men's division members, were appointed as general chapter staff. The America General Chapter would serve as the umbrella organization for the two chapters just formed in Los Angeles and Brazil, as well as the 17 districts they comprised. In addition, a new overseas department was established at the Soka Gakkai headquarters to facilitate communication with members living abroad, to keep track of membership statistics, handle postage and shipment of Soka Gakkai publications, and translate and publish new books and newspapers for non-Japanese readers. Joji Ikanda was appointed department head and assigned a staff of 9. Aisuke Akizuki then gave a report of the Soka Gakkai leaders' visit to North and South America, after which Jujo, the new America General Chapter Chief, shared his hopes and determinations with the members. Then it was President Yamamoto's turn. However, in his speech, Shinichi hardly mentioned his overseas visit. Instead, he focused on more immediate concerns, to solidify each step of their progress. After commending the members for their strenuous efforts in this absence, he said, quoting Nichiren Daishonin, "The Lion King is said to advance 3 steps, then gather himself to spring, unleashing the same power whether he traps a tiny ant or attacks a fierce animal. This principle applies equally to our activities to promote Kosenrifu. Therefore, let's put everything we have into our propagation efforts for November and December, and then exert ourselves thoroughly in January to give guidance and faith to the members." Giving guidance to individuals or families is an extremely time-consuming, inconspicuous activity, but it serves to nurture the roots of people's faith. Only when the roots of a tree spread and sink deep into the ground can it grow towards the heavens and bring forth branches and green leaves. In much the same way, the source of all development in the realm of Kosenrifu lies in sharing the members' sufferings, answering their questions to relieve them of doubts, and making it possible for them to exert themselves joyously in faith, filled with confidence and hope. Go out among the people and touch their hearts. This was the main focus of Shinichi's speech. We propagate Buddhism to lead others to happiness. In this respect, giving personal guidance and faith to new members is vital. As leaders, you must constantly ask yourselves, how many people in my district, group, or unit have stood up resolutely in faith and received benefit? This is a crucial point to remember. I'll close today by announcing that we will continue to exert ourselves in propagation efforts until the end of December. We will then make January Personal Guidance Month and devote our energies to nurturing capable people. The greater the number of people introduced to the Daishonin's Buddhism, the greater the need to provide them with guidance and faith. The task of propagation is complete only when new members can proceed in their Buddhist practice with self-motivated independence and firm conviction in faith. with the Soka Gakkai now surging powerfully towards a membership of 3 million households. Shinichi's greatest fear was that the members would lose sight of this fundamental point, creating a fragile organization that would crumble easily like a castle built on sand. They had also just taken the very first step towards World Kosenrufu, an action comparable to setting a tiny flame to an infinitely vast plain of grass. Whether that flame would grow into a blazing fire or be extinguished overnight by rain hinged solely on how the organization developed from this point on. Therefore, the most pressing task right now was to offer guidance and faith to each member and raise that person to become genuinely capable of taking responsibility to spread the Dai Shonin's teachings throughout the world. Introducing new members and fostering capable people are like the two wheels of a bicycle. Only when both are moving in unison can Kosenrufu develop and grow. The next day, November 1st, President Yamamoto attended the inaugural meeting of Chiba Chapter. Held at the Chiba Prefectural Gymnasium, it was the first of a series of inaugural chapter meetings around the country since Shinichi became president. Since this was the first chapter established in Chiba, Nichiren Daishonin's birthplace, Shinichi was elated. At the hour of the horse on April 28, 1253, at Seichoji Temple in present-day Chiba Prefecture, the Daishonin declared that Nammyoho Renge Kyo is the only true teaching in the latter day of the law, capable of leading all people to enlightenment. Already, 707 years had passed since that day. During that time, the rising sun of the true law had been obscured by dark clouds, never casting its brilliant rays over Chiba. But now, at last, the time had come. Shinichi gazed out of the car window. The fields and ocean rushing by all seemed to share in this joy. As the car approached the town of Makuhari in Chiba Prefecture, fields planted with vegetables sprawled around them. A flood of memories from his youth came rushing back to Shinichi. It was September 1945, shortly after Japan's defeat in World War II. Shinichi was 17 at the time and suffering from tuberculosis. Carrying a large rucksack on his back, Shinichi alighted from the crowded train onto the station platform in rural Makuhari. He felt somewhat dizzy. He was here to try to buy food for his family since food supplies were scarce in Tokyo, a city transformed by war into a burned-out shell. He had no idea whom to contact or where to go. He walked along a path that ran between some fields. Others who had come to buy food were already negotiating here and there with local farmers. Shinichi went up to a woman in a straw hat who seemed to be a farmer's wife. To the person in front of Shinichi, she said, "I'm so sorry. I don't have anything to sell today. I've been turning people away since morning." She then bent again to resume her work in the field. Shinichi stood where he was, taking in the rural scenery surrounding him. He found it soothing after the blackened, desolate ruins of many parts of Tokyo. After a while, the woman glanced at Shinichi and said in a rough yet warm voice, "Where have you come from?" He was younger than the customers who normally came here to buy food, and she seemed concerned. "Kamata, in Tokyo." "I see. You look awfully pale. Are you tired?" "I have consumption." "My goodness, come and rest a while at my place." She led Shinichi to an old ramshackle house. A man's voice, probably her husband's, rang out from the dimly lit interior. When the woman removed her hat, Shinichi saw that she was about 40, with a smiling, friendly face. "Do you have any brothers and sisters?" she asked him. "Yes, I'm the fifth of eight children. My older brothers haven't come back from the war yet." "So, then, that's why you've come out to buy food?" "Yes." "May I ask about your family? Do you have any children?" The woman's face clouded over. With a sad expression in her eyes, she silently shook her head. There was obviously some reason for her reaction, but Shinichi did not wish to press her any further. The woman asked Shinichi how his family had fared. He responded to her question straightforwardly, relating that they had been forced to evacuate their home. It had been torn down, along with others nearby, to clear a tract of land that would prevent fires caused by air raids from spreading uncontrollably throughout the densely populated city. The woman thought for a moment, then she stood up and said, "We don't really have anything to spare right now, except for some sweet potatoes. You can have a portion of those." "Is it really okay?" "Of course, things are rough for you too. Please do your best." She then brought some sweet potatoes from the barn. "Please come again any time. I'll remember you," said the woman with a gentle smile. Although she offered the sweet potatoes to him at 10 yen per can, Shinichi, grateful for the kindness she had shown him, purchased 6 can and paid her 12 yen per can. Later that month, Shinichi went again to Makuhari, and the woman, as she had promised, welcomed him warmly and let him have a big straw bag filled with sweet potatoes. The severe food shortage in Japan after the war had made many people's hearts grow callous. Consequently, this woman's simple kindness left a deep impression on Shinichi. After that, he had neither occasion to go to Makuhari to buy food nor to see that farmer's wife again. Although 15 years had passed since then, he would recall her warm-hearted smile each year when the sweet potato season came. When Shinichi Yamamoto arrived at the Chiba Prefectural Gymnasium for the inaugural meeting of Chiba Chapter, the chapter chief and chapter women's division chief were waiting outside to greet him. As he stepped out of the car, Shinichi smiled and told Teruyo Ishiyama, the chapter women's division chief, "Now's the time for your new departure." Ishiyama looked glum, however, bowing silently with downcast eyes. She had taken faith 4 years earlier, and for a chapter women's division chief was still relatively young and inexperienced in her practice. In fact, the question of whom to appoint as chapter women's division chief had presented the greatest problem in the deliberations on leadership appointments for the new chapter. Originally, another woman, an experienced district women's division leader who had been practicing for a long time, had been suggested as a candidate, but the majority felt that she lacked impartiality, and concern was expressed over her suitability to take on the central position for the women's division in the new chapter. After further discussion, it was unanimously decided to recommend the less experienced Teruyo Ishiyama for the position based on her future potential. However, soon after the appointments were announced at the September headquarters leaders' meeting, many letters strongly criticizing Teruyo Ishiyama, written by women's division members in her chapter, were received by the Soka Gakkai headquarters. The women's major complaint was that they could not follow a women's division chief who has weak faith and no track record of results in activities. Shinichi read the letters when he returned from the Americas. Though each seemed objectively written, he sensed an ulterior motive. Viewing it seriously, he contacted several people in Chiba chapter to gain a detailed picture of the situation. His inquiries revealed that the complaints against Teruyo Ishiyama's appointment came from a group of women close to the original candidate for the position. It also appeared that this leader, while wearing a mask of serene indifference in public, was secretly inciting members close to her to criticize Ishiyama. This was a truly lamentable state of affairs. Soka Gakkai positions are not positions of prestige but of responsibility. The most important duty leaders have is to devote themselves to serving the members and fully discharging their responsibilities for Kosen Rufu. Consequently, the more responsibility the position entails, the more resolute the person's inner determination must be to put aside interests of self and work tirelessly for the law, for Kosen Rufu, and for the members. To be disgruntled at being passed over for a position in the organization and criticizing the appointee behind his or her back clearly shows a concern focused more on ego than on Kosen Rufu. Such behavior in itself proves one unqualified to become a Soka Gakkai leader. The leader in question had encountered the Dai Shonin's Buddhism while battling a chronic illness and had regained good health through faith. At one time, she garnered an extremely impressive record for introducing people to the practice, which brought her to everyone's attention. President Yamamoto was worried about her future. If she refused to support and work harmoniously with the chapter women's division chief, she would become increasingly isolated and lose her joy and enthusiasm towards faith. This could eventually lead to her growing discontented with the organization as a whole, until one day some incident could prompt her to drift away from the Soka Gakkai altogether. Through her behavior, this leader was already disrupting the unity of the members of the Soka Gakkai, the organization that had appeared in accord with the Buddha's will. She might not have realized it, but she was now making negative causes for her own unhappiness that would completely erase all the good fortune she had accumulated through her painstaking faith and practice thus far. No matter what the reason, a member who harbors jealousy, grudges or hatred for another member who is wholeheartedly striving to fulfill his or her mission for Kosen Rufu commits an extremely grave offense. Nichiren Dai Shonin warns, always remember that believers in the Lotus Sutra should absolutely be the last to abuse one another. There is nothing as changeable as the human heart. It can be moved to goodness or to evil, engender great creativity or great destruction, or manifest the qualities of a Buddha or of the Devil King of the sixth heaven. True Buddhism, faith in the Dai Shonin's teachings, guides people's hearts in the direction of good construction and happiness. The situation in Chiba chapter forces Shinichi to seriously ponder this aspect of human nature. Why, he wondered, would a woman who had experienced the benefit of overcoming illness through faith now try to disrupt the unity of her local organization and incite others around her to do the same? She was clearly consumed by conceit and a desire for personal prestige and recognition. But why could she not see this? What had caused her inner focus to become so distorted? In the Gosho, Nichiren Dai Shonin writes, "If you think the law is outside yourself, you are embracing not the mystic law." In other words, Buddhism begins with the recognition that we ourselves are entities of Ichinin Sanzen, and that all the causes for our happiness or unhappiness lie within our own lives. Those who are envious or jealous of others, however, look for the cause of their happiness or unhappiness in others. This is the same as seeking the law outside themselves. The emotions of such people rise or fall with each changing circumstance, and when they encounter difficulty or suffering, they offload their bitterness and resentment on others. They fail to look at themselves and reflect upon their own behavior. As a result, they do not grow or carry out their human revolution. Ultimately, they make themselves miserable. Naturally, since the central figures or leaders of an organization are only human, they will have their strengths and weaknesses. Sometimes their lack of experience will be glaringly apparent. The important thing is how we deal with such a situation. Do we simply criticize them, or do we try to help them and make up for their shortcomings? To support the central figure from behind the scenes is to practice faith with the true unity of Itai Doshin, many in body, one in mind. The path of human revolution lies in an ongoing commitment to self-reflection and improvement based on the teachings of the Dai Shonin's Buddhism, striving each day to become a better person today than yesterday, even if only a little bit, and better tomorrow than today. Unlimited benefit and good fortune are found only in such unflagging efforts. Consequently, for all this woman's energetic endeavors in her Buddhist practice until now, it was obvious that she lacked a truly solid foundation in the basics of faith. Wishing that she might walk unerringly towards happiness throughout her life, Shinichi asked a senior women's division leader to give careful and considerate guidance to this woman and patiently take the time to go over the basics of faith with her. The person Shinichi worried about most, however, was Terio Ishiyama, who would now have to take on the demanding challenge of the position of chapter women's division chief. Teriyo Ishiyama's appointment as chapter women's division chief came as a total surprise to her. Although she accepted the position, she felt insecure about whether she could fulfill her responsibilities. Her confidence was further undermined when she overheard remarks such as, "It's beyond me how she became women's division chief when she lacks experience as a leader and doesn't have particularly strong faith." When she called on the other women to help with preparations for the inaugural chapter meeting, quite a few gave her the cold shoulder. She completely lost confidence in herself and, after much agonizing, decided to ask President Yamamoto to find someone to replace her. When Shinichi entered the waiting rooms at the gymnasium, Ishiyama resolutely spoke up. "Sensei," she began somewhat hesitantly, "there's something I'd like to discuss with you." At Shinichi's urging, she sat down on the sofa. "What's up? Is something troubling you?" he asked. "Yes," she said, her voice trailing off. "I don't think I'm capable of taking on such a big responsibility as Chapter Women's Division Chief. Since my appointment, I've been working on the preparations for the inaugural chapter meeting, but nobody pays any attention to what I say. In addition, everyone's been criticizing me behind my back, and some have even told me bluntly to my face, 'You're not qualified to be a women's division chief,' and they are right, I am not." As Ishiyama poured her heart out to Shinichi, she could no longer hold back her tears. Shinichi gazed at her intently as she spoke and then said in a confident, reassuring tone, "I understand. I understand everything. I also know exactly who is speaking ill of you. Nonetheless, how can someone resolved to dedicate her life to Kosen Rufu be defeated by such foolishness? If people criticize you, let them. I will support and protect you." Ishiyama looked at Shinichi with surprise. "Having accepted the position, it is your mission as Chapter Women's Division Chief to lead everyone to happiness. Your appointment is no chance occurrence. Your human revolution and practice of faith begin with awakening to your mission for Kosen Rufu and exerting yourself earnestly to realize it. Therefore, no matter how difficult things may be now, you absolutely must not retreat. Buddhism is win or lose. It is an endless struggle against obstacles. Negative forces are bent on hindering the progress of Kosen Rufu. Using any means at their disposal, they cunningly attempt to disrupt the Soka Gakkai's unity. Devilish forces try to sap the life force of those committed to making a stand, demoralizing them and undermining their resolve. Sometimes, as in this case, they manifest themselves as jealousy from a fellow member or perhaps a thoughtless remark by a senior leader. They may even take the form of an illness attacking a leader in the organization. If we lack a firm inner resolve and back away, these negative forces will gather strength. Daimoku and a strong, immovable determination and faith are the only means of conquering such negative functions. Now is the time for you to vastly expand your state of life and begin your real struggle for Kosen Rufu. Please challenge every difficulty fearlessly and warmly embrace everyone around you. Laugh off any unpleasantness you encounter and forge ahead boldly with confidence, joy, and optimism. The Soka Gakkai has just entered a phase of major development. When a plane is about to take off, it rumbles and shakes as it meets tremendous resistance. Since Chiba is ready to make a fresh start, it is only natural that it will face a variety of problems. But if you achieve brilliant success in your efforts as Chapter Women's Division Chief, winning the trust of many people, then the senseless criticism will disappear, just as the rocketing and buffeting stops when the plane reaches cruising altitude. Those who reject you now, thereby disrupting the organization that exists to fulfill the Buddha's mandate, will not get far. The Buddhist law of causality is very strict. One day, they will deeply regret their behavior. All your painstaking efforts for Kosen Rufu will become your precious treasures. Therefore, try to work as hard as you can in the organization." When you feel it's too much for you, that you can't go any further, at that moment it is important to press on joyfully, with the conviction that through this suffering, I have changed another part of my karma or expiated the negative effects of one more past cause. If you can turn even the worst organization into a solid success, you will garner immense good fortune that will endure eternally. In your next life, you will surely savor a truly regal state of freedom and fulfillment. The heavy mist clouding Teru Yoshiyama's heart seemed suddenly to clear. A rosy glow returned to her cheeks. The woman who had been disrupting the organization later exerted herself in activities as a leader after receiving guidance from several senior women's division leaders. Eventually, however, she and her husband abandoned their faith and turned against the Soka Gakkai, leaving it of their own accord. Those with hearts full of malice and spite find it impossible to stay within the organization. This attests to the strictness of the Buddhist law and the integrity and purity of the Soka Gakkai. The inaugural meeting of Chiba chapter began at 6:15 p.m. Shinichi devoted his speech to keenly dissecting the falsehoods being spread by a segment of the media that referred to the Soka Gakkai as a violent religion. The Soka Gakkai continues to be criticized as being violent. But has anyone here been forced to join the Soka Gakkai under threat of violence? I state with utmost conviction that the Soka Gakkai has never once used violence in its propagation efforts. Indeed, haven't we, in many ways, been the victims of violence? Take, for example, the cemetery issue. Even though there is no legal problem with Soka Gakkai members maintaining family tombstones in the cemeteries of temples of other Buddhist schools, people have been subjected to such threats as, if you join the Soka Gakkai, we will refuse to entomb your ashes in your family plot in our cemetery. In fact, being written up in the newspapers as a violent religion, when no one in the Soka Gakkai has ever resorted to violence, is itself journalistic violence. Violence is rampant in Japanese society today. The Prime Minister of the country is stabbed, the head of the Socialist Party assassinated, and countless hurt and clashes between police and demonstrators. In such an age, the Soka Gakkai is endeavouring, through the dialogue of propagation known as Shakabuku, to build a society that respects and upholds the dignity of life. The word Shakabuku may sound harsh, but genuine dialogue on matters of human existence necessarily entails a rigorous debate in which each party stakes his or her own beliefs and convictions. In conducting such compassionate dialogue to lead a friend to happiness, we cannot avoid touching on the causes of the person's unhappiness and clearly stating what is right and wrong. Nothing new is created from dialogue that lacks complete honesty, makes compromises, or sidesteps the real issues. The Daishonin's Buddhism is the only means for establishing peace and happiness in Japan. I declare that to criticize an attempt to bring down the Soka Gakkai, which is widely disseminating this great teaching, amounts to toppling the pillar of Japan. Shinichi stood at the vanguard in fighting the malicious criticism directed at the organization. He could not ignore the irresponsible slander raining down upon the members striving sincerely to fulfill their mission. No matter how false or absurd the rumors might be, if the object of those rumors remain idly silent, people will come to believe the lies are true. Even truth and justice can be destroyed if no one fights to protect them. It is vital to realize that there are times when silence can lead to defeat. Following Chiba Chapter's inaugural meeting, Shinichi traveled to Gunma Prefecture to attend a similar meeting for the Maebashi chapter on November 4th, returning to Tokyo the next day. On November 6th, he attended the 9th Young Men's Division General meeting at the Mitsuzawa Athletic Stadium in Yokohama. At this same site 3 years earlier, on September 8, 1957, Josei Toda made his landmark declaration calling for the abolition of nuclear weapons, words that became his legacy for future generations. From the perspective that all human beings have the inalienable right to exist, Toda had denounced as demonic and destructive anyone who would use nuclear weapons, irrespective of his or her nationality. He then entrusted the youth of the Soka Gakkai with the task of spreading this message throughout the world. Embracing his wish as their personal mission, the young people devoted themselves tirelessly to reading, discussing, and pondering President Oda's anti-nuclear declaration in the 3 years since it had been issued. They realized that the declaration was the inevitable conclusion of those who lived in accord with the Buddhist law. They also realized that Buddhism provides rational principles for solving any difficulty facing humankind. They already knew the Buddhist teaching that all living beings possess the Buddha nature, but they had been unable to define what this meant in terms of modern society. Now they clearly understood that Toda's assertion, "We, the people of the world, have the right to exist," gave contemporary expression to the concept of the Buddha nature. The idea of people's right to existence was not new and had been acknowledged in the UN Universal Declaration of Human Rights. But it is fair to say that Toda, by backing this claim with the principle of Buddhism, infused it with true substance. The young people came to understand that human happiness and world peace would be realized when Buddhist principles became deeply rooted in society. At the same time, they gained a deeper awareness of their mission to spread Nichiren Daishonin's Buddhism throughout the world. After Shinichi's inauguration as Soka Gakkai president, the youth division's propagation activities gained even greater momentum. The youth were also inspired by Shinichi's overseas visit at a time when a hoped-for thaw in the East-West relations had been replaced by a new deepening rift. Their pledge to realize lasting world peace burned even more fiercely in their hearts. At noon, accompanied by the brass band's powerful performance of Gakkai songs, 14,000 young men's division members, representatives from each region of Japan, began to file past in procession. The 9th Young Men's Division General Meeting had begun. The procession of young men continued for about an hour. The spectators' stand was adorned with two huge placards, each 10 by 10 meters, on which were written in black on a white background the Chinese characters for the coming year's theme of Soka Gakkai, Dynamic Advancement. The Young Men's Division had made dynamic strides during 1960. At the start of the year, the young men had set themselves the goal of achieving a membership of 170,000. But by October end, they had already surpassed their goal with 200,000 YMD members. Besides, 66,000 Young Men's Division members had gathered for this meeting, far exceeding the attendance goal of 50,000. When Shinichi Yamamoto learned how many were attending, he was reminded of a passage in an essay Josai Toda had once dedicated to youth titled, "Youth, Be Patriotic." Toda had cried, "Youth, stand alone. Another will definitely appear. A third will then follow. It is clear that if we had 100,000 patriots, the miserable could be saved." The expression patriots had overtones of a bygone era, but Toda used it in the sense of people capable of saving the whole world, not just Japan. In fact, the day was not far when there would be a gathering of 100,000 YMD members committed to working for the happiness of people throughout the world, just as Josai Toda had dreamed. Shinichi felt sure the Soka Gakkai was steadily advancing towards the realization of his mentor's vision. President Toda's essay, "Youth, Be Patriotic," was read out at the general meeting as an expression of the youth division's pledge to realize a gathering of 100,000 members. In one corner of the stadium was a group of young men wearing shirts that were red, yellow, and other bright colors. These were American members who had traveled overnight by train from the United States Misawa Air Base in Aomori Prefecture in northern Honshu, Japan's main island. The group watched in amazement as the dignified procession marched by. Gazing at the uninterrupted stream, one of them exclaimed, "Wow, it's really like they're emerging from the earth. Now I've literally seen the bodhisattvas of the earth make their appearance." The American members saw the procession as a concrete expression of the emergence of the bodhisattvas of the earth about which their Soka Gakkai leaders had spoken. When "Youth, Be Patriotic" was read, another American member asked the Japanese youth division leader standing next to him, "What is meant by the word patriot?" "It means fine, upstanding individuals who think about and take action for the welfare of their country," responded the leader. "What country does that refer to?" The American member asked, "Does it mean Japan?" It was an earnest question. Somewhat perplexed as to how to answer, the youth division leader said, "Well, President Toda was essentially referring to Japan, but that's because this work was addressed to the Japanese youth. For American members, it means working for the peace and prosperity of your country. Buddhism views all people on this planet as members of the same human family, and the world as one country. Therefore, we could say that the expression patriots refers to those who think about and take action for the happiness of all humanity." As if confirming this, the young American declared, "Then that means we too are patriots. That's great." Beads of sweat had formed on the youth division's leader's brow. It had never occurred to him he would have to answer such a question. Yet, the American member's question keenly drove home to him the international scope of the young men's division, which, following Yamamoto's lead, was about to embark upon the worldwide spread of the Daishonin's Buddhism. In his greetings at the general meeting, Shinichi frankly shared his feelings. "As a graduate of the young men's division, I wholeheartedly rejoice and congratulate you on today's general meeting. However, I am not congratulating you on this new beginning because of my expectations that your efforts will contribute to the Soka Gakkai growing in size and influence. I rejoice because the solid growth of each of you youthful bodhisattvas of the earth, striving for your own and others' happiness based on Nichiren Daishonin's Buddhism, will ensure the realization of peace and the happiness of people in Japan, Asia, and the entire world. I cannot possibly convey to you in words how immense President Oda's expectations were for the youth division. And I myself am deeply reassured and heartened to see the emergence of so many fine, outstanding youth division members as are here today." After declaring that the flow towards Kosenrufu had now become an unstoppable current of the times, Shinichi continued, "Although I have the position of Soka Gakkai president, I have never once thought that I am great or superior. I am resolved to dedicate myself until the very last moment to fighting for Kosenrufu as your brother or family member, always sharing your joys and sufferings and making your hopes and dreams my own." He closed by urging the members, "Please become exemplary youth who are respected and trusted by everyone, in your families, workplaces, and communities. Please become courageous individuals who will fight for human justice." Among the guests at the meeting was an American professor who taught religious studies at a university in Iowa in the United States. Moved by what he had seen, the professor commented on the meeting, "I was deeply impressed by the lively atmosphere. It was one of the most impressive spectacles I have ever seen. I'm honored to have attended this meeting. In the United States, we usually have crowds this big turn out only for football matches. You don't see people gathering in such numbers for something that has an altruistic purpose. I was also staggered by the powerful addresses of the speakers who took the rostrum. They seemed to infuse their words with the whole essence and every fiber of their being. I also discerned from President Yamamoto's remarks that he is very humble. I was surprised, too, at the smooth and orderly procession of the young men. The fact that it was a gathering not of professional clergy but of young men who had jobs in society and come from all social strata, as the suits or school uniforms indicate, also impressed me deeply. In Japan, to research the country's living religions, the professor had also visited the Soka Gakkai headquarters. In the West, there was a deeply ingrained perception of Buddhism as a static, meditative philosophy that could not possibly serve as a powerful force in society. Even the French philosopher Henri Louis Bergson wrote that Buddhism placed forceful emphasis on the extinction of existential desires, while the German philosopher Karl Jaspers and others relegated Buddhism to the realm of mysticism, directed solely towards a transcendence of reality. Certainly, if one looked at the major established forms of Buddhism in Japan, it was obvious that they had long ago turned into funeral Buddhism, concerned only with rites and rituals, and were thoroughly incapable of being a force for human revitalization towards the creation of a new age or society. Amid such a religious landscape, The existence of the Soka Gakkai, no doubt, completely overturned the professor's preconceptions of Buddhism. The assembled young men's division members he had witnessed were not dressed in monks' robes. They were ordinary young people active in various fields of society. Far from losing themselves in passive contemplation or Zen-like meditation, they squarely challenged the very real suffering rampant in society. They overflowed with passion and dynamism to contribute to the peace and happiness of humanity. With one heart and mind, they were striding joyfully towards a great ideal. The professor seemed truly delighted to have discovered the existence of such a religion, a true living Buddhism. Around this time, many religious scholars and researchers in various countries turned their attention towards the Soka Gakkai. Their interest bore testimony that the world longed for a truly human religion. That brings us to the end of today's reading. Have a great day.